This is 1A. I'm Joshua Johnson in Washington. Britain has given 23 Russian diplomats 1 week to get out of the country. Earlier today, Prime Minister Theresa May addressed the House of Commons. Moscow rejected her deadline for Russia to explain itself over a nerve agent attack carried out in the UK on a former spy and his daughter. Mrs. May laid out a range of retaliatory measures against the Russian government. All planned bilateral meetings have been canceled, and no one from the British government will now attend the Soccer World Cup this summer in Russia. The Prime Minister specifically called out Vladimir Putin for taking his country in the wrong direction.
Mr. Speaker, none of the actions we take are intended to damage legitimate activity or prevent contacts between our populations. We have no disagreement with the people of Russia, who have been responsible for so many great achievements throughout their history. Many of us looked at a post-Soviet Russia with hope. We wanted a better relationship. And it is tragic that President Putin has chosen to act in this way. But we will not tolerate the threat to life of British people and others on British soil from the Russian government, nor will we tolerate such a flagrant breach of Russia's international obligations.
That was British Prime Minister Theresa May speaking to the House of Commons. In response, the Russian government says, quote, "We consider this hostile action as totally unacceptable, unjustified, and short-sighted," unquote. Joining us now from WBGO Public Radio in Newark, New Jersey, is Amy Knight, the author of several books about Russia, espionage, and the KGB. Her latest is called Orders to Kill, the Putin Regime and Political Murder. Amy, welcome to 1A.
Thank you.
Let's start with the attack itself. Can you explain why Russia would want to go after a former spy who lives in another country to take such a risk, especially because apparently they did it in a sloppy way? They got caught. Why would Russians do this?
Well, I agree. It was very sloppy. They actually arrested Skripal and tried him for treason and convicted him in 2006. And Russia does not have the death penalty. So the most they could do was to give Skripal a prison term.
And sir, this is Sergei Skripal, the ex-spy who was
the spy who's now in hospital after being poisoned. So in 2010, he was exchanged in a spy swap with several Russian spies who had been caught in the U.S., and he chose to live in Britain. But, you know, he really was an important spy in the sense he worked for GRU, Soviet Military Intelligence, and he apparently gave up like over, you know, hundreds of secret agents that were working for the GRU. So it's been claimed that he did a lot of damage, and he's even been compared with the infamous Oleg Penkovsky, who spied for the British, also for working for the GRU. And Penkovsky was actually executed in 1963 when Russia still had the death penalty. Mm-hmm. So this, you know, Skripal was a pretty big spy. And, you know, the Russians just clearly waited until the time was ripe. And they do it to serve a warning to other potential traitors.
Russia also has elections coming up this weekend. Not surprisingly, Vladimir Putin is expected to do fairly well. I wonder if this sends a message ahead of those elections, maybe telling his base that he's not afraid of going after people who act against Russia's interest. Is this maybe something related to just Vladimir Putin maintaining power?
Well, I think the timing of the poisoning, which was exactly 2 weeks before Sunday's elections, was probably not a coincidence. Putin has been concerned, Putin and his supporters. Of course, he will win the presidential election on Sunday, but they're concerned that the turnout is going to be low. And this is because Alexei Navalny, the Democratic oppositionist who was denied a place on the ballot, has been campaigning very hard and effectively for a boycott of the elections. So this scandal in Britain, if you want to call it that, is something that is probably generating a lot of support for Mr. Putin, because the Russian population, basically, because they're fed a constant stream of propaganda on the state television, right, they really view the West as an enemy, or not all of them, but a good majority. And they're always concerned that the West is trying to undermine them and undermine their system. So Russia standing up, you know, punishing this traitor, even, you know, even though, of course, the Kremlin isn't admitting that they had anything to do with the poisoning, still the message is there. You know, we can stand up to the West.
We're speaking to author Amy Knight, whose latest book is Orders to Kill, The Putin Regime and Political Murder. We're talking about the decision taken earlier today by the British government to expel 23 diplomats in response to the poisoning of a Russian ex-spy within the UK. We're only discussing this for the next few minutes before we move on, so if you do have questions or thoughts to share, now's the time. Email 1A at WAMU.org, tweet us at 1A, or comment on our Facebook page. Norm asked on our Facebook page, where are our global intelligence organizations on these events involving Russia and the poisonings? Amy, has anyone from the intelligence community said anything about this?
I haven't read anything specific by the intelligence community, but I think the feeling is, I mean, that Skripal, as I said, was a very important spy. And I think probably people are not that surprised that this has happened, because it's happened before. And, you know, there's a realization in the intelligence community that when Russians defect, when Russian intelligence officers defect, they are facing a certain amount of danger.
What impact would expelling these 23 diplomats actually have? I mean, the U.S. expelled diplomats near the end of 2016. Britain is expelling 23 diplomats now. Is this actually effective? Is it more symbolic? I mean, what's the point of doing this?
You know, I'm sorry to say, but I don't think it's going to have any effect. Expelling 23 diplomats is just, you know, the Russians can get over that real fast. I think the only thing that's really going to talk directly to the Kremlin and Mr. Putin is to get the support of our allies, of Britain's allies, including the Trump administration, if that's possible, and really instigate some hard-hitting further economic sanctions.
What do you see as the likelihood of that, particularly help from the White House?
Well, you know, I was interested. It took President Trump over a week to make a comment about this poisoning, which is such a huge deal in Britain. I mean, the government and the people consider this an attack on their soil. And I noticed that Trump hedged in his comments. He said, as soon as we get the facts straight, if we agree with them, we'll condemn Russia or whoever it may be. So we see him already hedging. I think the real hope, if the British wants the United States to come on board and really give a message back to the Kremlin, are the people in Congress, who I'm sure, even some Republicans, who feel very strongly about this sort of thing.
A few more quick questions before we're out of time. Roberts tweeted, I feel like Russia is trying to get someone to react to their aggressions in a manner that will compel them to justify going to war. Why else would they keep behaving the way they do? Amy?
I don't think Russia wants to go to war at this point. No, I don't think they're in any hurry to do that. And, you know, I think the reason that that this happened in the first place, and their very scornful reaction to the suggestions that they were involved, I think this is, you know, they're doing this based on past experience. When Litvinenko, Alexander Litvinenko, a former FSB officer who defected to London, when he was poisoned in 2006, and the British finally, it took them a long time, acknowledged that the poison really could be directed pretty much back to the Kremlin. The Kremlin treated the two assassins as heroes. So they're not, they don't need a war to get the people on their side.
Before we let you go, we're going to shift into our conversation about populism and nationalism in just a moment. How concerned do you believe we should be that, rather than this just being kind of a moment, that Russia's actions suggest we might be entering a new age where these kinds of regimes would be willing to take these kinds of brazen actions more frequently?
I don't think there's a real cause for alarm right now, because I think this was a very calculated, strategic move, despite the fact that the poisoning itself was so sloppy and included hurting other people beyond Skripal and his daughter. I don't think the Kremlin is going to go crazy doing this sort of thing. They just need to send this message every once in a while. So I would doubt that this would evolve into something, you know, really dangerous for us in the West.
Amy Knight is the author of a number of books about Russia. The latest is called Orders to Kill: The Putin Regime and Political Murder. Amy, thanks very much for talking to us.
Thanks for having me.
We'll zoom out from Russia and talk about more of the world's strongmen and would-be strongmen in just a moment. Our guest is asking what would happen if more liberals embraced nationalism. We'll meet a leading voice who says that could be the key to protecting democracy. I'm Joshua Johnson. You're listening to 1A from WAMU and NPR.